Blog Talk Radio.
Everybody for joining us. I'm waiting to see. I see one of my guests on the line. I'm waiting to see, look for my co-host to see where they are. Hope everybody had a good day. It's raining here. Raining mighty hot here, actually. It's been raining all day. But I do see one of my guests online. So what I'll go ahead and do is I'll go ahead and read her bio. And then I'll go ahead and bring her in, and then when my co-hosts come on, they just can just join on in. I actually see two of my guests. I'm going to read both of their bios and then bring them on one at a time. Okay? First I have... Let me start with... Sorry, guys. Please bear with me. Let's start with Princess Golden. I have Princess F. L. Gooden was born in Atlanta, Georgia. She is the co-author of Touched by an Angel, written with Toya Christopher Murphy, that was released in December 2014. And if you would like more information about Princess, you can visit her at www.princessgooden.com. That is my first guest. Let me go ahead and bring her on. Hi, Princess. How are you? Hello?
Hello?
Princess? Hi, how are you?
Hello?
Hello?
Whoever gave me your numbers and names wrong with the numbers.
That's why I said Princess. I'm so sorry. Let me read your bio then. Yeah, I'm sorry. I got your number listed up under Princess's name for some odd reason. Oh, now I feel like a fool.
That's okay.
But I'm glad you're here, Kelly. Let me read your bio real quick. What I have for you. Kelly Hadley believes faith and fiction are a match made in heaven. She is the world-winning author of the Preacher's Kid series, Reverend Inc., co-contributor of the Motherhood Diaries, and the upcoming novel with Brown Girls Books, What You Won't Do for Love. You can connect with her on social media and online at KellyCraiglerHadley.com. Okay, and the Kelly is spelled KellyCraiglerHadley, and that's .com. And I'll be sure to put it on our show's page so everyone can look at it from there, too. Okay? We have one. Then how are you tonight?
I'm doing well. It's raining in California, too, so I'm enjoying the rain.
I was speaking to my friend earlier. She said it was raining there. She lives in Sacramento, and she said that it was raining here really hard, too. And I'm like, it's raining here, and it's raining in New York. It was raining in New York. I'm like,
right.
Is it raining all over the U.S.?
On both coasts, it's raining. We're getting it really bad.
Yeah. Well, other than that, how's your day going?
It's great. It's going really, really well. I love the rain, so, you know, sometimes we need it. It's good, right?
Well, tell us something about you that's not in what I read in your bio.
What's not in my bio is that I am the short story that I wrote in the dating game is called Cocoa Butter Love, and I co-wrote that with a Gina. Phillips Johnson, who I met through analogy that Rashonda Tate Billingsley did, which was called The Motherhood Diaries. So Gina and I met during that anthology, and we just hit it off, and we just felt that we were kind of like a yin and a yang as far as writing, as far as, you know, she's kind of a romantic, she's, you know, a hopeless romantic, and I'm pretty practical and pragmatic, and I kind of like, you know, action, adventure, and a plot, and she loves characterization and developing characters, so we thought we would put that together to write a short story.
Okay, yeah, I actually read you guys' story, too. I enjoyed it. Now,
thank you.
How long have you been writing?
I wrote the Preacher's Kid, the first Preacher's Kid, back in 2006, and I happen to be a Preacher's Kid, so that's not where I got the inspiration for the story from, but I kind of just felt that I could write from a stance of, you know, you should start with writing something that you know. So I started in 2006. And it just sort of clicked with me, like, okay, I can actually do this. And then when I submitted the short story for the Motherhood Diaries anthology, both Victoria Christopher Murray and Rashonda Tate Billingsley, they both encouraged me to really pursue writing. They both saw something and they just really encouraged me to pursue it. And I had written Revenge Inc. and they just, from then on, more stories just came to my mind. Like it's sort of like a faucet. There's just, I'm always you know, being inspired to write a story. And so the latest or the next one that's coming out is What You Won't Do for Love, and that will be with Brown Girls, hopefully in September. So,
okay. Do you write in other genres?
A Christian, you know, that's funny. I write in other genres, but it always will have an inspirational or a Christian, it will always lend itself to that because that is what's in me, so that's what comes out. I am, my favorite writer is Octavia Butler, and she's sort of like science fiction, paranormal. And I have an idea for something like that, but I don't think I'm ready for that genre yet. But maybe soon, maybe one day, maybe I'll pursue that one day.
Okay. Okay. We got a caller already. Let me bring this caller in, and then I'm gonna bring your other guest in, so I can interview you guys at the same time. Let's see.
Okay.
Area code 256-955, you're live on the air.
Hi, this is
Where you're at, what's your name and where you're calling from? Oh, I don't have that. See, I have you as a 478 number.
Yes, and that was
wow.
What was supposed to happen. We'll have to talk about that later.
Oh, okay. Well, I read your bio, Princess. How are you doing, Princess?
I'm doing good. I'm on the Marshall Islands, and so a lot of things switch up over here, and I'm very sorry.
No, you're fine. You're fine. I just thought you was a caller calling in with a question for.
Well, I'm glad you saw me this time. Thank you.
Okay, we got one more, you guys. We got Gina Torres, too. Let me read her bio, too, and bring her on so I can get you guys all three together. Gina Torres
okay.
is a Facebook addict. Armchair psychologist, political commentator, often militant, pop culture junkie. She loves the written word and subtle form of a phrase. She has been a freelance writer for years, writing, copying articles and web content. She has a BA in communications from Trinity International University. You can follow her on Twitter at G's House, and it's spelled G-E-E-S House. So let me bring her in, and I can get all of you ladies at one time.
Hi. Hi, I'm here. Hello?
Hi, Gina. How are you?
Hi.
Hi. Okay, I have Gina, Princess, and is it Keisha?
Kelly.
Kelly, and you know, I've been wanting to call you Kylie. We have the three authors from The Dating Game. Kylie told us a little bit about herself that wasn't in the bio. So, Princess, why don't you tell us something about you that's not in your bio?
I'm on Kwajalein, which is in the Pacific. In the middle of the Pacific, 5.5-hour flight from Hawaii, because I'm a military spouse, and my husband is the command sergeant major here.
Oh, okay. I used to be a military.
Yeah, so while it's cool, it's enabling me to do quite a few things that I would love to be doing because I'm a hustler.
I know that's right. How about you, Gina? Tell us something about yourself that's not in your bio.
I'm a contributor for Harriet, and you can read some of my more militant pieces there.
Okay. I'm going to ask you, this is a question I'm going to direct to each of y'all, but I want you guys to all answer different. What was your inspiration, Princess, behind your story in The Dating Game?
My inspiration was a friend of mine. She keeps posting this old picture of herself, and she doesn't look anything like it anymore. She's gained, you know, some weight, and so, but she keeps posting, and it's just her face. And so I said, what happens if you keep posting this picture, and then because you're posting this crazy picture, you keep meeting these crazy people? And so that was pretty much my inspiration, just to show what happens when you're not who you say you are anymore.
And that's a lot of like happening. They call that catfishing.
Right. And so she's happy with who she is, but she doesn't, you know, she's not happy about her weight. But then I'm like, okay, this person is thinking they're going to meet this particular, you know, person in the picture. And, you know, thinner face. There's a lot of things, you know, that's changed about her. So she kept saying, I'm just not meeting anybody. And I'm like, well, you're not going to meet anybody that's going to be happy with you because that's not you.
And Gina, what was your inspiration behind your story in the dating game?
I took like a small thing that happened like in college and kind of expanded it. So back when I was, you know, way younger.
Okay. I asked Keisha, did she ever want to write any other genre? Gina, would you like to write any other genre?
You know, that's hard to say because I do like mysteries. I mean, like, you know, suspenseful mystery kind of things. I don't know if I could tackle that. I think my speed is, like, literary fiction and possibly romance when I'm feeling nasty. I don't know.
Okay. How about you, Princess? What other genre would you like to write in?
Well, I have so many different stories. I think I would like to be able to move around because I have some stories that, you know, I've had this dream since I was little. So there are a lot of stories, a lot of different, I think, genres. So I think my next thing would be to start writing these children's stories because my mother has been asking for these children's stories that I've had for a long time to come, you know, come to life. But I think I want to be, you know, just take it wherever it leads, not just be a Christian, you know, writer. I want to, you know, put my hand in a few different pots.
Okay. Now, I'm going to direct this question again to every question I ask, I'm going to direct it to all three of y'all. Okay, and it's just going to answer it one at a time. If you could co-author with anyone, who would it be, Keisha?
It's Kelly. I would.
Oh, I keep saying that. I am so sorry.
No problem. My favorite author is Octavia Butler, but she has passed away. So I would co-author, I think, I would probably pick somebody like Michael Crichton. He's kind of adventurous, and I kind of want to go in that route, like a thriller.
Okay. And you, Gina?
Oh, I do not know. I don't know. I don't call out somebody's name, and they'll be like, ooh, mommy. I don't know. I don't want to be all lofty and be like William Shakespeare or somebody like that, but that's a hard question. There are so many people that are so talented, but I don't know how effective I would be writing with somebody. Like, I'm working on a project now with two other people. So once we get that done, maybe then I can think, you know, next steps.
Okay, and you, Princess?
Well, I came out the box a blessed person, so I've had the privilege and honor of writing with Victoria Christopher Murray, and so that my very first book was with her, and I pray we can continue. A lot of people are asking about a character in our book, so we're going to do some more writing together. I pray that I'm able to do something with Rashonda, but I've been blessed, and so I came out, you know, with a heavy hitter in the beginning, so I'm like, I don't know what now, and I have some wonderful writing sisters that I'm writing with that I'm having the privilege of doing a book with also, so I started out being blessed, and so I'm just, I don't know what next.
I know that's right. I know that's right. Now, when you guys sit down and write, when you ladies sit down and write, what three things do you have to have besides your pad and pencil and your computer, whatever you use to write with? What else do you have to have in your presence to write?
This is
Kelly. Go ahead.
I literally can write anywhere and everywhere. Like, I actually try and go different places because one of the things Victoria Christopher Murray always stressed is being able to listen to people. That way you get the best type of dialogue and you get real reflection. So I go to, like, a Walmart, sit down there. I'll go to a frou-frou, you know, Starbucks in a nice neighborhood, or coffee, bean tea leaf. Or, you know, I'll go to the library. So it just, I try to vary it so that I get exposed to a lot of different types of people and a lot of different conversations and a lot of different, I make a lot of different observations. So I only thing I need to have is my laptop. I don't write freehand. I have carpal tunnel pretty bad. So that's not for me.
Hi.
For me, this is Gina. I have to have music. And you know what? What tends to help me is if the music is related to what I'm writing to. Let's say I'm writing something in the 80s, I'll have 80s music or music that inspired me or meant something to me at that time. Or like when I'm trying to, you know, capture the essence of a character. Neo-soul really works well for me, too. It really inspires me. You know, people who are neo-soul can also do spoken word, those types of things. I love that.
Okay.
This is Princess. My answer is crazy because I play this old 70s shows like Sanford and Son and Good Times. And I have those people talking in the background. And, you know, as I was growing up, people would say, you need peace and quiet to write. I didn't get a lot done when I did that, so I have to have some noise. But it's, I don't know if it's the atmosphere of the shows, you know, that I grew up with. I don't know what it is, but I flow so freely with those shows. And then I have Victoria's voice in my head most of the time from our coaching sessions because I need to be fussed at. I'm a different kind of writer. Like, I need to just write and not worry, you know. So, I carry my recorder around now because I'm getting things, you know, constant as I travel, as I'm, you know, moving about. And I don't want to miss anything anymore. I realize that everything that I think of right now is very valuable as a writer, so I'm trying to make sure I keep up with everything.
Okay. Do any of you ladies have any book signings coming up? Any of you ladies at all?
Gina, I don't have anything right now specifically.
Okay.
There may be something in May. I'll have to check back on that one.
Okay. Well, Princess, you're overseas. Well, not Princess, but you're overseas. So, no, Gina, you're here. Princess is
overseas.
Yeah, I'm
in the Chicago area.
I'm overseas. What I do, even though I'm overseas, there are some it's a blessing to have some islands that are around us. They're different people, but they speak English. And so it allows me to go. So I don't have a book signing coming up because they've already – bought the books, and I've already done my love note to them in the book. But we're going to have a talk session about Touched by an Angel coming up within the next, I think it's a couple of weeks. And so that's fun for me. But other than that, I try to make sure every opportunity I get to come home or when I go, like I just came back from Hawaii, I meet up with some book clubs. I try to make sure that, you know, I have something going on. But coming up, you know, as far as the States, now, if I was in the States, I would blow it out the water because I would just be somewhere.
I know that's right.
I told you I'm a hustler. So I'm like, God has me here for a reason, but he knows once he opens up the gate.
I know that's right. And how about you, Keisha?
Vocals.
I keep saying Keisha. I know it's not Keisha.
No. I have a few
it's
meetings
Sally.
With book clubs. I have a couple meetings with book. I have two meetings with book clubs coming up about my previous book, Revenge Inc. And they basically we're just going to be discussing that book, and hopefully, I'm also going to do a reading at both of those. At both of those book clubs, I'm going to do like a chapter, the first chapter for what you won't do for love during those book club meetings.
Okay. Anyway, I like book signings. I try to go all of the book signings that I can go to. I love going to book signings. Gina, when you first entered the, what's the best advice that you received since you got into the literary world?
I'm sorry, could you repeat that?
The best advice that a fellow colleague or author has given you since you entered the literary world.
The best thing that I've ever heard was Victoria posting, if you want to be a writer, write like it's your job. That's something I can't get out of my head. You treat it like it's your job, even when it's not really necessarily making money, even when, you know, you don't necessarily consider yourself a writer yet because you haven't been published. But if that's what you aspire to, write like it's your job. I'm just like, whew, she drops gems, by the way. Follow her, please.
Okay. And how about you, Kelly?
The best advice that I've been given is to write. People say write what you know, but that sort of limits you sometimes. That will limit your that will limit you. So always, maybe you start with at that place, but break out of what you know. Let your imagination really roam and go free. Do research. You know, if you want to write historical fiction, do, you know, research the 1800s. Or if you want to write the paranormal, then research that. I think that too many people let what they know stifle them and keep them from reaching out and writing more things. So start with what you know, but move out of that. Move out of that.
Okay. Don't let them put you in a box. I think that's great advice. How about you, Princess?
I think my best advice that I've learned is to make sure I read. Just because I'm a writer doesn't mean I don't go read, you know, other people's writings and study. I think that was something that I thought at first was going to hinder me, or, you know, I was going to be caught up in somebody else's ideas. But I've learned that the reading part of it, because I get so much good advice from Rashonda and Victoria, especially Victoria, because I've taken sessions and stuff with her. And she's hard, but it's real. And it's like boot camp for writing. But the thing that I think stands out for me is to read. And when you read, then you see and you learn, you know. And it develops, you know, me better as a writer. There are some things I read that I do not want to ever do. And then there are some things that I read that I want to, you know, learn the craft of description and, you know. So I think that was one of the best pieces of advice I could have gotten. And then the two that my sister said are things that go over and over my head also. But it is so much good advice that I've gotten.
Okay. Now, I'm a paperback person myself. Don't get me wrong. I own e-books and I love e-books, but there's nothing like a paperback book, in my opinion. How about you, ladies? Do you prefer Kindle, or I mean ebook rather, or paperback?
This is Gina. I would rather have a book. Something about books and the way they smell, they do something for me. I've always loved books. I've always loved to read, like, you know, from the time I can actually read. But libraries, books, the texture of the paper, the typesetting, I love it.
Yes.
But I will read the e-book.
I used to be just paperback, and I needed it, and I wanted to, you know, smell it and hear the page, you know, flip the pages. But since I've been traveling, the e-book has been great for me, only because, you know, when you are a reader and you like books, traveling with about 6 books, because I read kind of fast too, has been difficult, or it's adding extra weight, you know, when I am traveling. So I actually like I'm in the middle now, because if it wasn't for e-books, then I would not be able to, you know, travel with as many books as I'm able to travel with now, because on my Kindle, you know, I can have 300 books, you know, but in my suitcase, I can only have 2 or 3, especially because I don't like the real little ones, so I'm always trying to get, you know, the big size.
This is Kelly. I'm with Gina. I'm like, you know, a paperback, like the comparing a paperback and an ebook is like comparing a synthetic hair weave to a human hair, and it's like, you don't, that plastic stuff don't hold a candle to the real stuff. So it's like, you want the real stuff when you have it in your hands. The fake stuff is, you know, cheap and convenient, but it doesn't give you your life when you have fake stuff. I need a paperback. I need pages. And I will actually pay extra for a hardback book if it's a book that I cherish.
Right. Right. Yeah, I'm a paperback person, like I said myself. I think I have like, I know I have over 400. I don't know exactly the number anymore, but I have like over 400 paperbacks. I don't know the exact number anymore, but yes, ain't nothing like a paperback book. There's nothing like it. And I'm the one that would stuff 4 or 5 books in my bag versus take my Kindle. I will only read my Kindle if I absolutely have to use the Kindle. The only time I will use it. Now, let's say,
well, yeah, on the Marshall Islands, you would have to necessarily do it because you only get so many pounds to fly. And,
I really do agree with you, Princess. I love the idea of being able to have that many books at my disposal, and then the fact that I'm able to download like classic novels that I've loved and cherished my whole life for free. And, you know, read those at my leisure. Yes, I love technology. Don't get me wrong. It's just that every now and again, I just need to have that book.
Yeah.
I want them both.
Yeah. Yeah, I find myself doing that, too. I find myself buying it in paperback and buying it on Kindle. I do that. I do that. Now, you said you spoke, I think that was Gina that said something about a book that she cares and being able to pick them up. And let me ask you guys this. If they pass the law and you were only allowed to own one book besides the Bible, what one book would you keep?
Oh, dear God, I would have to have a hidden stash. There's no way I could just have one book. I would black out and die. True, I do read the same books over and over again, but there is no way I'd be able to choose one book. That would be like stabbing me in my chest. Does that include, like, can I still have the Kindle with the books on it, or just one
big
one? Nope,
you can only have one book.
Oh, God, that's like murder.
Yeah, I don't know. I would probably just snatch out pages and then just do the rest myself. You
that's
know,
like asking me to choose my child. Which child I would take? I don't know.
My one book would be Roll a Thunder, Hear My Cry by Mildred D. Taylor. That would be the one book that I would keep. That would be the one book I keep. That's the first book that I read that really got my love of reading together. That would be
sometimes I want to go to Jamaica, so I'll read How Stella Got Her Groove Back. Sometimes I want, you know. Sometimes I want to go to L.A. right after the riot, so I'll read Brothers and Sisters by B.B. Moore Campbell. Yeah, I mean, just depends. I mean, one book, oh, my God, that's like cutting off a piece of my body.
I was actually watching Malcolm X by the movie today, and it made me realize that, like, I named my son Malcolm after, when I was 15, I read the autobiography of Malcolm X, and I was like, whenever I get married, whenever I have kids, I don't care what my husband says, my kid's name is going to be Malcolm. So I'm going to go with that book only because it had the deepest impact on me and the most lasting impact. And I think I don't like to reread books, but I can actually reread that book. Just, I can reread it constantly.
Books that I reread. I will read a Shampoo and Bottle in the absence of something to read. My Benoist Dictionary, encyclopedias, recipes.
That's funny you said that because I read Matt. I read Matt.
See what I'm saying? Anything.
So,
right.
Yeah,
right.
I read maps, so that's not too far-fetched. I read maps. I can tell you what interstate goes where and where it cut off, and because I read maps like that. As long as you're reading. It doesn't matter what you're reading. Everybody should read. It really doesn't even matter what it is. Read.
I think it does matter because there are some things that develop you as a person, and there's some things that don't. Now, don't get me wrong. Every now and again, I like a trashy novel, just like I like trash TV. I can watch, I can watch a documentary, but then I can turn around and watch Real Housewives of Atlanta. So, you know, my taste varies. I think you should have things that are light reading, but I think you should tackle some of the things that may not be so light, because it makes you a more well-rounded person. So I think I wouldn't want my children to have a heavy dose of just comic books, even though sometimes, you know, like according to my husband, they got him to think broader because when we were coming up, they used vocabulary that wasn't, you know, real simple. You know, so I think it should be a mixture.
Definitely.
Okay. How important are book covers to you, ladies?
This is Gina. I definitely judge books by cover. What I loved about the 90s is that black authors would let you know they were black without letting you know they were black. Two things: song titles or lyrics in the title of the book, and they all had that silhouette construction paper book covers. You guys remember what I'm talking about?
Yeah,
and I'm like, those will catch my eye, and then I will flip it around, and I still do this. Maybe I should feel bad, but I really don't. I flip it around and look at the author picture, and I'm going to grab the black author. Whoops.
My secret. Well, you know, our book cover is Princess did our book cover, and I have to say it's one of my favorite book covers. I mean, the dating game book cover is like, you look at, every time I see it, I'm like, dagnabbit, that's a good book cover. And I'm a book cover snob, so, yes.
Well, I was going to say I have the honor and privilege of designing several that are about to come out from Brown Girls. And with the same thing in mind, that we're hoping that the book covers will just capture people. I think when I did the dating game, we went back and forth, you know, with what lady would be right, you know, the colors and, you know, what would draw somebody. And so with that, I've designed a few more for Brown Girls, and they'll make the announcement of when those books will come out. But since then, I've done at least, I think, about 10 more, so you all get ready. But we're hoping that the cover is going to be, like, we take, as far as Brown Girls, the cover to another level, you know, shopping to another level. Like, I shop by mannequin a lot of times because, you know, I'm on a crunch time, you know, crunch schedule. And so I know that if it looks good and that's my shape, so I'll grab that when I don't have a lot of time. So I know that people grab books like that too. Like, it has to capture them, even if they don't know what it's about. So with that in mind, we look forward to having a few more that's like the dating game that people say, oh, my goodness, I want that book because of the cover.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Well, you did it. Kudos. It made me want it.
Yeah, I like the cover. I like the cover, and I like the cover also. I'm really picky on book covers, too, and I'm really picky on the titles that I buy, too. I've gotten out of the song, out of the books that's named after songs, because to me that lacks creativity. And I've gotten out the titles with the curse words in them, and all that. I really don't purchase them either anymore. Like, okay, I'm over this. You can't think of something more useful than the word bitch. Use my language as a title. You know, bitch doing this, bitch doing that. You know what I mean?
Referring to when I was talking about expanding your mind. You have to have, you know, an expansion of thought, an expansion of vocabulary. That, to me, doesn't do anything. Donald Goins, see, they're trying to recreate what Donald Goins did and what Iceberg Slim did, and they did it much better. They were able to write street literature where you could actually feel like you were there, and it wasn't a whole, I mean, it was cursing because that's part of the street life, but it had purpose and meaning. It wasn't just like, you know,
right,
we're just throwing it out there just because we're cussing.
Right. Like, I think of, like, the coldest winter ever. That when I think about street lit, like, I think my standard is the coldest winter ever. And I'm like, well, if it's not going to bring me into this world and make me feel for this character, because most of it is just making me like, okay, it's the same story, it's the same plot, same story, same plot, same characters all over and over again. But like the coldest winter ever, that wasn't a curse word in the title. The cover, I remember, was very provocative, that cover. And it just, you definitely have to be, and the funny thing you just said about changing it up, because her next book, Sister Soda's next book, was very different, and I don't think her readers were kind of ready for that difference yet. Like, she kind of, you know, went left with the next book. And it's like, okay, she evolved faster than her readers did, and they weren't quite ready for that evolution. So she lost a bunch of readers because of that. But it was still, it's. I like the fact that she just pushed it and she tried it.
Right. You're so true with that. That's so true. I was a big fan. I'm a huge fan of Coldest Winter Ever. But believe it or not, that is not my favorite book by Sister Soda. Everybody says that's their favorite book by her. My favorite one was No Disrespect. That was my favorite book by her. It wasn't Coldest Winter Ever. More Disrespect was more like a autobiography, I would say. And I'm huge, and I love autobiography. That may be my favorite genre. I would have to consider that my best. Maybe because I'm just nosy. But I like autobiography.
You know, I like biography too, especially from maybe people who were famous decades and decades ago. Because I've always enjoyed the journey, reading about people's journey, what made them go where they went and how they got there.
If you ladies had to change one thing about Amazon, if you could change one thing about it, what would it be?
Amazon? I would make Prime cheaper. That would be my only change.
If I was speaking for Jason Frost, then it would be gone altogether. Amazon would become small indie bookstores, and they would have an actual physical place where people could go. If I could change one thing about Amazon, I would say that they would, you know, just, I love what they've done, but make something real for us to go to. I miss the bookstore. I miss the bookstore experience. And it's gone because of Amazon.
We still have
Amazon. Yeah, that would be mine. Mine would be if Amazon is going to do these great things, to actually have a location like, you know, in addition to Starbucks.
Yes, right. But if they have a location, that means
connect
they're going
to
charge
Amazon
more taxes.
To the Starbucks.
No. They're going to charge taxes in your area, so you're not going to have
it, but cheaper. It is difficult, though, because they are cheaper. They, you know, are shipping to people's houses, so it is taken away from our bookstores. I don't know which way, you know, because I haven't really thought about it, which way they could help with the bookstore thing, but I'm with whoever answered about the, you know, because it is taken away from a lot of our bookstores.
Yeah. Yeah, but don't you see that as we evolve to e-books, the bookstore idea is going is fading into the past anyway. Just
yeah, keep
because
fading. Yes, that's true. That's true.
It's not just Amazon. It's not just big businesses.
Yeah.
The e-books is killing that too.
Yes, it is. That is so true. That is so true. If I could change anything for Amazon, I personally don't like the return policy, how you can just read a book and return it. I think that is so wrong. I'm not a fan of the Kindle Unlimited, me personally. I'm not a fan of the Kindle Unlimited. I don't have Kindle Unlimited. I just buy the book. I don't quite get into Kindle Unlimited myself either. So, I don't know. I just think the return policy needs to be revamped. They would probably be a lot better if they just had, because Barnes & Noble type thing, you're not returning nothing over there. But Amazon, you return it.
You don't even have to return,
though.
You can resell it. I like that option. You can also sell it. I'm sorry, I'm an Amazon person because there's so many things I buy from Amazon, whether it's I purchased hip scarves, like, you know, for belly dancing, because those things were so expensive I could never find them for under $40 before Amazon, and then I bought them for $6 a piece on Amazon. I mean, my gosh.
Oh, yeah, I buy all kinds of things off Amazon. I buy gift cards. I buy so much. They sell everything. It's like a worldwide.
Yeah,
it's literally
where
a worldwide.
I am, Amazon is the only thing keeping most of us above water, because it's not a lot of shopping and things like that. So Amazon, it's like a, I don't know how to put it, saving a lot of us. When you all get a chance, you have to Google the Marshall Islands. That's all I can tell you.
Okay, I'm online right now. I'm doing that.
So, Amazon is like our Walmart.
Okay.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, okay. But it's a blessing to be here. I will say that. It's just different. It's not the shopping. And the writers would probably really enjoy this as a resort type thing because my house is on the beach. You know, it never gets cold here ever. It's very calm, and the population 2.5 mile island. So
that is beautiful. I'm looking at it. Oh my gosh,
it's nice. It's a base though. It's, you know, so. But there are a lot of things that, you know, you're limited to being here.
Okay. Well, ladies, we're at a point where I need to play a song. I'm going to put everybody on hold while I play a song, and we'll be right back with more questions. Okay.
Okay.
Back to life, back to reality. Back to life, back to reality.
Hallelujah.
And we are back. We have on the air today on Two Free Toe, we have Gina Torres, we have Princess, author Princess, and Keisha, and I'm about to say it, Callie. I'm going to say Keisha again, and Callie. I don't know why I keep wanting to call you Keisha.
I don't know why.
I'm so sorry. Where do you ladies see your literary career in the next 5 years?
Well, mine, this is Gina. Personally, I want to blow up.
I know that's right.
I would like to have it. I would like to be a best-selling. We are all Amazon best-selling authors, by the way. Our book was number one several times. But I would like to be a number one, a New York Times best-selling author.
Mm, 5 years? I have five books. Like, I would love all of them, like, done. Like, I have them in my head. I have some of them jotted down on paper. I would just like them done. You know, just like the I would like to be on the other end of a finished book. That would be wonderful to me.
Yes, 5 years. Wow. I don't even know. I started out with my dream being to be with Simon and Schuster, and that was something I had as a teenager, and, you know, I saw that. And then it looks like every time I turn around and when I'm obedient to God, doors open in different ways. And then what I was thinking of was not as, you know, big as where God was trying to take me. So I just want to be able to flow. And I think this year I will have, by the end of it, at least four. It's supposed to be five. I'm still working on another one, the one, you know, my edits. But if I can do five in a year, in 5 years, then I have at least 25, which I think would be amazing.
Yeah, that would be amazing.
But that's only because I said and pressed my gift. I just pressed it. You know how you don't do what you feel led to do? Because my story, you know, is different from some others. I knew I had talent to write a long time ago, but I just didn't act in it because I was told it wasn't a real job and, you know, you need to go to work every day. And so once I got involved with my children and my life, writing was not something I thought, you know, I could do and make a living off of. You know, it was just not something that I could see until I hooked up with Victoria. And, you know, they let me, or they showed me that things are possible. If you just do what you're supposed to be doing, just things, doors open all over the place.
I would like to see all of,
that's
like,
so
it's one thing that this, the sisters from the dating, the dating game, Victoria and Rashonda really put a special group of women together, and I think we're all very gifted, and I think we're all very encouraging and edifying. We all want to see each other do well. So I really hope to see just, you know, this greatness come out of this little book that, the little book that certain people were, like, getting shade for. But it's like, I want to see greatness come from all of us.
Yes.
I receive that.
Right.
Hallelujah.
I know that's
agreed.
Right. Now, will any of you guys expand your stories from the dating game?
Yes. Gina Phillips Johnson and I, just the other day I started the first chapter. Like, I would just hit by it. I was like, this is a great beginning for Charlie and Mason. And I really just love the idea of writing with someone that really just spurs you on. Because, like, when you get back, when we wrote our story together, like, I would send her something and she would send me back, and that would just spark my imagination, and that would send the story in another direction. So it was like getting your own personal writing prompt, you know, from someone else. styles, and then her writing is so lyrical. Her prose is great. So you get that writer's high from reading someone else's work that's really good too. So that was enjoyable in that, you know, in that way we were able to just write together so well. And even actually Victoria said, she said, you know, you can't write with a lot of people. It's very rare that you find someone that your soul clicks with as far as writing. And you're not trying to edit their work. You're not trying to, you know, you don't try to edit their voice and things like that, but you get something out of it. So I definitely see us, especially writing in that male-female voice, I see us moving forward in that direction as far as doing books in which, you know, we would write in tandem like that.
Yeah.
Okay. Okay. Now, if you had to describe your writing in three words, how would each of you guys describe your writing?
This is Princess. For me, mine is funny. I think I write, I don't think I'm being funny, but the response from, you know, the people that's reading say, you know, my stuff is funny. They do say real, but, you know, realistic, but funny, yeah.
Realistic, but funny. How about you, Gina?
I'm trying to think. I mean, that particular story wasn't humorous. I can write in a humorous way, but that story was kind of, it was serious, kind of. So for that particular story, I would say kind of serious. I want to say, like, soul-searching. I don't want to make it deeper than it was, but, like, that was my thought behind it, to make you think about the choices we make. So in that particular instance, yeah, that. It's not three words, but, yeah.
I don't know. You're right. The same thing, that particular story, Cocoa Butter Love, was humorous. It was, like, very light. But the one that's coming out with Brown Girls is, it tackles euthanasia. So it's absolutely not light at all. So I always write with something. I like provocative, I like edgy, and I like I like unpredictable. I absolutely need unpredictable as an adjective because I hate predictable writing.
Okay, now. What is the last book you that you purchased?
Hello?
The last book that we
purchased.
Can you
hear me?
I just bought The Grave Robber by Mark. It's nonfiction. But it's a nonfiction book about the miracles that Jesus did in John, and it's freaking me out completely. Really good.
The last thing I bought was a combination of Nola Larson's writings, which included Passing and Quicksand, and a couple short stories.
I just traveled to Hawaii, so I bought quite a few right before my trip. But the one, I think I'm saying the name right, the Bissing's Song, I'm not sure, but it's by Sherry Lewis. I really enjoyed her last book. That's the one I'm going to jump into. And then I want to read Growing Up Gangsta
by Gregory Marshall. Yeah, that was good.
Yeah, those are my next two. Yeah. And so I've been, you know, writing and trying to read and, you know, trying to just map out everything that's going on right now, just trying to make sure I get my, you know, time in for reading. So some of my books I just purchased and I haven't, you know, read, and then there are some I purchased, like, you know, 2 or 3 weeks ago that I need to read. So I have a lot. You know, but I try to support when they first come out.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Important.
Yeah. Okay. Now, are you guys, are reviews important to you ladies?
For me personally, like, for me to choose a book? For me to choose a book
or for
me to receive a book?
For your book. For your books that you write. Are reviews important to you? Because I don't have authors say, or they came on the show to say reviews don't matter to them. To me, reviews are
everything. If it's a good review, it matters. If it's a bad review, I don't want to hear about it.
Of course it matters.
I had to do something. Yeah, when Touched by an Angel came out, you know, before it came out, I was preparing myself. And then I realized, you know what, people have opinions about things. And so, yes, some of that matters. Like if they're, you know, they really have something, like they got confused with something I said or something that I was written in the book, and I see that, you know, I try to go back and see how that could have confused them. But if they're saying, well, I didn't like this book, or that kind of stuff, you know, hey, it's just a matter of opinion. I try to focus on the people's reviews, you know, they took the time to actually give a review and not just say, okay, don't buy this book. You know, they matter, but not enough to make me stop writing. Not enough, because I realize people have opinions. Well, I mean, you know, I like some things that some other people don't, and so I had to prepare myself, so I went to some of the great writers to read their reviews before Touched by an Angel came out, so I could see. And guess what? There's somebody that has something to say about everything, like the, even what you name your characters.
That's true. That's true.
Yeah.
So if you can't let it stop,
that's why I
guess, I guess that's what I'm saying. You can't say, oh, these reviews are, you know, maybe I'm not a writer, because if that's the case, you won't be doing much of anything, because somebody will have an opinion about, you know, everything that you do.
I read the bad reviews first. I read those first because I'm like, I want to see. And I work for Amazon as far as I'm a reviewer for Amazon, so that's part of, like, what I have to do is, you know, being able to give a very good, concise overview of what I've been sent. So I think reviews, I take it with a grain of salt, because anybody can write a review. You can get 50 of your family members to write a review for you, and you can kind of see those reviews like a mile away. If it's a personal, like, this is my cousin, I'm writing a review for my cousin kind of thing. And then you can also see those reviews where people were that, you know, a complete stranger that came across this and it really touched them. So I use that barometer when I'm reading a review, kind of to know, you know, this is, you can tell which ones are sort of set up and which ones are actually true review of a product or a book.
Right.
And then reviews are
subjective. Yes, they are. That's why I do not base my purchases off of reviews, because I think I heard one of you guys say, just because you like it doesn't mean I like it. I will like it. I do not purchase my books off reviews because of that reason, because I think everybody's entitled to an opinion, and your opinion may not be the same as mine. So I do.
And then sometimes people write for a specific audience, and if you're not part of that audience, you may miss a whole lot of information that someone who is a part of the demographic can kick up on right away.
Right, right. Now, we also had a guest on before, and I'm trying to remember who exactly it was, but I cannot remember. When I review a book, I review the book not only from the not about the storyline, you know, in the overall story, not only about character development, but I take in consideration the book cover. I take in consideration the type setting. I take in consideration all of that. And I cannot remember who it was to tell me that was too much. Do you think all of those things should be taken into consideration when writing a review?
I do. I use all that. I use all that.
If it's important to you, yeah.
Yeah.
Right.
I think people should know. If it's a horrible book cover, like I rarely read bad book covers. I'm a book cover snob. But if it's a bad book cover, but the book inside is absolutely amazing, I make sure I say that in the review so that I, you know, help other book cover snobs. Like, hey, look, this cover is horrible, you guys, but the inside is good meat inside of this book. So read the first 20 pages or whatever, the first 3 pages or whatever, and get this book because they just missed the boat with the cover. But I think the more information you give, especially for certain people, then it helps them in making a choice for people that use reviews to make a purchase.
Mm-hmm. Okay. I am a little sticker. I read everything as far as the whole book. Like, yeah, I think that if the storyline isn't in order, that it should be taken into consideration. Like, I was just reading this book. The timeline was, it's like part 5 of the series. It didn't even have anything to do with part 4 left off. I think that should be taken into consideration. Definitely grammatical errors to be taken into consideration. Just, I think when you judge a book, you need to look at everything from all points aside.
Agreed.
Now, if Gina, if readers would like to get in touch with you, where would they find you at?
Twitter and Instagram. If you read that, my name on Twitter and Instagram, they're the same as G's House, GeeshouseE.
What do you have coming up?
Right now, I'm working on, you know, trying to put together a novel. I don't have, you know, anything that I could, like, say, hey, specifically be looking for this thing, because I'm, at this point, just in the beginning stages of that. And, again, keep a lookout for my articles on forharriet.com.
Okay. And, Princess, how about you? What do you have coming up, and where can readers find you at?
Well, I have quite a bit coming up. Started a new radio talk show called Truth Heals Hurt. And then I have some more book covers that I've been working on for Brown Girls that will, I guess, start popping out shortly. And as far as my books, as far as the writing portion goes, I'm working on some edits. If you are going through edits with Victoria, you know that she's very strict, and so I have a conference call with her today. She wants it to be done right, and so I can appreciate that about her. So we're working on edits, and I have a book coming out with, I call them my sisters that started out on this journey with me, Rochelle, Denise, and Sharita Smith. And so that book is supposed to be out in August. But if people would like, they can go to my website, and that'll pretty much direct them to all of my social, you know, social media stuff. It's princessgooden.com.
And how about you, Kelly?
I'm at kellykriglerhadley.com, and I am also, you know, I'm Facebook, I'm Twitter, but if you go to my website, you can get that information. I'm updating my website right now, so it's probably, I don't know if you can even get on, but if you, you know, Kelly Krigler Hadley on Facebook, I have a page on Facebook, Kelly Krigler Hadley Novels on Facebook, and I have What You Won't Do for Love coming up from Brown Girls, and I'm working on The Reluctant Mistress right now also. So that is, I'm about 90% done with that.
Oh, cool. Okay. Well, I want to thank you ladies for joining me tonight. I really appreciate you guys taking the time out and coming to chat with me for this hour.
Thank you for having
me. And we would love to have you back when your next novel drops. Be sure to hit
thank
us
you
up
for
when
having
the next novel drops. Oh, you're very
thank
welcome.
You so much.
I really, really appreciate it.
Yes, thank you.
Right, well, You ladies have a nice night. And thank you for everyone
for tuning
in.
Bye, sisters.
You too. Have a great
bye
night.
Bye-bye.
All right.
Thank you so much. Bye-bye. Bye.
Bye. Thank you, everybody, for all my listeners for calling in. It was a great show with three fabulous ladies. Thank you all for listening to us, and be sure to tune in tomorrow for Truth in the AM. Thank you. Have a great night.